What is God's will for your life? Does He have a specific will for you to follow? As Christians, how should we pick a career, choose a mate, or decide where to live? A short course in discovering God's will for our lives looks something like this. Pray and ask God for wisdom. Then, read the Bible regularly. We cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God. Next, seek wise biblical counsel from people who also pray and read God's Word. Also, learn to follow the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. At times, His promptings are mysterious, but walking by the Spirit is always a great adventure. Finally, like the Apostle Paul, discern God's will through the doors He opens and closes for you. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
When God opens a door, He almost always opens the heart of someone on the other side. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and you're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to this truth. God opened doors for him in ministry all the time, and almost without exception, Paul walked through them and helped lead someone to faith in Christ. Coming up next, a wonderful story of faith and redemption from Ron's teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Stay with us here or stop by somethinggoodradio.org where you can listen on demand on your schedule. Download or subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, from Acts 16, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good radio message, Open and Close Doors, Paul's second missionary journey.
Let's pick it up in verse 25. About midnight, here's Paul and Silas in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Now it's only Jesus, the doorkeeper, remember, the one who opens so that no one can shut and who shuts so that no one can open? It's only Jesus, the doorkeeper, who could swing those jail doors wide open at midnight, and he did. You see, this second missionary journey is all about open and closed doors. You know, should we go over here? Should we go over there? Should we go over here? I mean, those are practical, everyday decisions that Christians have to make and ministries have to make. But the most important door that Jesus can swing open is the door of somebody's heart. And it came by way of jail doors that opened up. And the jailer thought, well, I've failed to do my job. He would have been held accountable for this. And he was about to take his own life. And the Apostle Paul cries out. And they bring the lights. And, you know, it's the middle of the night. And this jailer asks the most important question that anybody can ask in the first century or the 21st century. What must I do to be saved? Where did he come up with a question like that? I suspect he had been listening to Paul and Silas singing the praises of God and praying even to the midnight hour. And the Bible says that the jailer believed when Paul and Silas said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And the jailer's entire household was saved, probably because he went and told his family. Because the Bible says that Paul and Silas then spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And then Paul baptized each one of them, the jailer and his household, and they rejoiced. You know, there's no greater joy than when an entire family, a household, comes to faith in Jesus Christ. We call it household salvation. You know, Catherine and I are blessed to have our immediate household, where everybody in our house, Catherine and I and our two kids, have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know how that happened. You say, well, that's because you're a pastor. Well, no, actually, if you know anything about, you know, pastors' kids, they notoriously go off the rail. I don't know why ours didn't. Praise God. It wasn't because we're superstar parents. It wasn't because Dad set up a pulpit in the middle of the dining room and preached to them every night. But they owned their own faith, and praise God that they did. I take from this scene that it is the leader of the household's responsibility, husbands, fathers, to go tell everybody else in your family how they must be saved. Are you taking on that responsibility? The jailer did. As soon as he believed, somehow he got Paul and Silas in front of his family and said, listen, this is what happened to me. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now saved. I want all of you to do the same. It was his responsibility to do that. Husbands, fathers, grandfathers, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the nearest mission field, which is your family. It's your family. You're responsible, I'm responsible for introducing the household to Jesus Christ. Each member of the family needs to make their own decision, and you can't be responsible for the decision. Now, you may be the only Christian in your family, and maybe you're not a husband or a father or a grandfather. Okay, just take the gospel to the family as it is until they all hear, until they all believe. And remember that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, according to a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. What a story this is. And maybe there's somebody here today that has heard God's people praying and praising him in a worship service like this. You know, the jailer just heard Paul and Silas in a prison cell, shackled to the wall there and to the floor, but praising God and praying, and that stirred something in his heart to ask the most important question: what must I do to be saved? And I love Paul's answer. He didn't complicate it, did he? He didn't swirl around the Milky Way. I mean, Paul was an intellectual, and he could swirl around the Milky Way theologically if you wanted him to, but he just says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the same will happen to your household if they just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. You don't need to complicate it. You can learn more about gospel implications as time goes on. But just share with people the simple gospel message. And it's God's business to open the door of that heart. And he will. He's the one who opens so that no one can shut, and shuts so that nobody can open. And in the mystery of all of that, put it in the hands of the Lord. Now let me leave you with three just take-home principles. Number one, never get discouraged about a closed door. I know how discouraging they are because, there was a time that I was choosing a career and picking a mate and wondering whether I should live here or live there. Those kinds of practical decisions. We know about the decreed will of God. He decrees it. So his desired will, okay, is his desire, but he doesn't, you know, supersede human will. Then there's God's personal will for me. That gets a little bit more mysterious. Never get discouraged about a closed door, but keep on praying. Keep on knocking on doors until God makes his will clear. Didn't Jesus say about prayer, ask and keep on asking, seek, and the idea is to keep on seeking, knock on a door and keep on knocking. Just keep knocking on doors prayerfully and do your part to go knock on those doors. Don't just sit in your hotel room and or your living room and say, well, I guess if God wants me to have a job, somebody will call me today. No, go knock on the door. If a salesman ever said, well, you know, if they want to buy my product, I guess they'll come call me. You won't have a job very long, you know. You got to do your part prayerfully. Knock on doors, but don't get discouraged when God closes the door. God's will for your life and mine is not an unsolved mystery. He's not trying to play games with us. As the song says, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And He does. He does. Secondly, never underestimate the power of praising God. When Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, they didn't go sit in the corner of the prison and suck on lemons, as so many of us do when we find ourselves in contrary situations. Wah, 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 wah. No, they prayed, and they were praising God until the midnight hour. Don't ever underestimate the power of praise. By the way, all kinds of people have been thrown into prison unjustly. Don't miss the fact that Paul and Silas were following the will of God here to go into Macedonia, and they made their way to Philippi. They were right in the center of God's will, we might say, and they threw them into prison.
Still ahead, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you've never visited our website, somethinggoodradio.org, I encourage you to stop by. There you'll find our streaming platform for the entire media ministry. You'll also find our digital library where you can search for biblical answers to your most challenging questions. Watch, listen, and download for free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Open and Close Doors, Paul's second missionary journey. Here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
Let me say it again. They threw these missionaries in prison for doing gospel work. Now they made the best of it. And there have been all kinds of people throughout church history, starting in the first century, all throughout church history, even in our time in the 21st century. Oh, you say, no, that would never happen. Well, just Google, type in the persecuted church and see what comes up these days. Some say there's more persecution of Christians today around the world than there has been all throughout church history. And that's true. When Christianity was in the cradle, Paul and Silas got thrown into prison for speaking the name of Jesus Christ in a way that upset their economic agenda. You say, well, it would never happen to us in America. Did you read the news this week? I want to be careful here, and I'm not being political. But there's something that happened in our country, the United States of America, which was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, a principal part of which in our justice system is you're innocent until proven guilty. They trumped up charges on a former president and indicted him and planned to arrest him on Tuesday. Okay? It's never happened in the history of our country. And this is not about Donald Trump. It's about the values upon which this country was founded. Our judicial system has been the envy of the world, in part, because you're innocent until proven guilty. And yet the former Speaker of the House this week said, this will be a great opportunity for Mr. Trump to prove his innocence. Oh no, Nancy. You got it wrong. And she didn't misspeak. She's too smart for that. But this is part of people trying to flip our country because they don't like Christian values. The Judeo-Christian values. Here's my point. If they can do it to Paul and Silas, if they can do it to a former president of the United States. You know who's next? You, and you, and you, and you, and me. People who do things like we're doing today, naming the name of Jesus Christ, right in the center of God's will. Will it ever cost us something so precious, like our freedom? It did Paul and Silas. You know, I plan my sermon series months in advance. I don't look at the news headlines and say, well, I'm going to preach on this Sunday. But I could not get past, in the preparation of this message today, in a series I planned months ago, the intersection with the headlines this week. Paul and Silas thrown into prison. And our nation crossed over a line this week and started acting like all those countries people are fleeing from to get into America.
Amen.
And we need to stand up and protest. No, we need to pray and praise God louder and louder and louder and louder, praising God. Because the only way we will fix what is woke and broke in our country is from the inside out. I'm talking about from the inside of churches out to the culture. Judgment always begins at the house of God. We get ourselves right with Him. We walk by the Spirit and go where He leads us. But now is a time for our nation and God's people in this nation, the remnant, the salt and the light, to shine. Make this little light of mine shine brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And this was a very dark time in our country this week. People throughout church history have been thrown into prison for naming the name of Jesus Christ, starting with Paul and Silas. Some have even written letters from prison that changed the world. I'm thinking of Martin Luther King Jr., who wrote a letter from a prison cell. I'm thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran minister who took on Adolf Hitler, was eventually, just 2 days before the war ended, executed by the Nazis. I'm thinking of Nelson Mandela. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul. He wrote 4 letters from prison, another time he was in prison. Do you know what the 4 prison epistles are? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. I might suggest to our former president, get your pen ready. Write a letter. Help people understand the Judeo-Christian values upon which this country was founded in a way that we became the envy of freedom-loving people. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And last week, we took a huge step in the direction of totalitarian bondage. And this is not a political thing. This is a moral and spiritual matter, because everywhere communism and socialism has gone, it has destroyed tens of millions of human lives. And it is time for the church to stand up against that, to pray and to praise God until and through the midnight hour, until Jesus comes. Number 3. Never stop sharing the gospel until your entire family believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying for household salvation for every one of us. I'm praying for household salvation in members of our extended family who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep praying. Keep praising. And when contrary experiences come, keep praying and keep praising. Are you the kind of example, an authentic witness for Jesus Christ, such that if you were thrown into prison and the midnight hour came, that a jailer or somebody over here or somebody there would look in and say, wow, what is it with these people? What must I do to be saved just like you? Or do we curl up in a ball and go suck lemons because, well, life didn't work out quite the way we wanted it to? God has a wonderful plan for our lives, right? Not necessarily. Suffering and persecution came to Paul and Silas early on when Christianity was still in the cradle. And friends, we're almost coming full circle. I told you weeks ago that cultural Christianity is gone. It is no longer to your advantage or my advantage to name the name of Jesus Christ, but here's what I'm counting on. My reward's in heaven, and so is yours. No matter how contrary it gets. So never get discouraged when you face a closed door. Never underestimate the power of praising God. And never stop sharing the gospel until your entire family at least has the opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Open and Closed Doors, Paul's second missionary journey. Dr. Ron Jones joins me now. And Ron, I can't stop thinking about how Paul and Silas handled such extreme adversity, praising God in what were just awful circumstances. Let's explore that idea a little further.
You're right, Brian. This was no ordinary prison. Paul and Silas weren't thrown into some cushy jail. They were taken to the inside of the inside of a prison where it was dark, dank, and dusty, feet fastened in the stocks, no food, no water, not even any light, unless you count the light that was inside them. I mean, they followed God's direction, and he led them right into a dungeon. And yet, they praised God anyway. Now, here's the thing, Brian. I don't believe you or I would praise God in those circumstances unless we were in the habit of praising him all the time. And so I believe there's a link between praising God and being able to discern his will. Brian, I'm convinced that the reason Paul and Silas stayed in prison when they could have escaped is because they knew they were supposed to stay. They knew that was God's will for them in that moment. Now, Brian, we might find it easy to praise God when he bails us out of trouble, but what's beautiful is praising God even when he leads us into trouble and leaves us there for a bit. There's something redemptive about that, and I believe if we develop a lifestyle of praise and worship that is not circumstantial, a lifestyle in which our default setting is praising God no matter what is going on around us or within us, well, it would revolutionize our relationship with God. And maybe, just maybe, someone who didn't know Jesus might notice our response to adversity and come to faith in Christ.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on the power and beauty of praising God in all circumstances. Well, we have a great resource to share with you today. As you may know, Ron has written a book that goes hand in hand with a teaching series he shared earlier this year, Route 66, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Today, we'd like to offer you both volumes for your gift of $50 or more to support the media ministry of Something Good. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Our thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more today. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Well, Ron, quickly now, tell us what's in store next time as you move ahead in this series on the Apostle Paul's life and ministry.
Yes, and thanks, Brian. Now, do you remember the parable of the sower? The sower scatters seed, and depending on the soil, the seed either takes root and produces a harvest, or else it produces nothing. The point Jesus was making is that Jesus and his followers, the sowers, spread the word of God, which is the seed, and it is the condition of the human heart that determines whether anything comes of it. We're going to get a great illustration of this principle coming up next time as we talk more about Paul's second missionary journey. He's spreading the seed of God's word all over ancient Greece. I'm talking about Athens and Thessalonica and several other cities. We'll see some right responses and some wrong responses to the word of God. And I believe it will help us as we even share the gospel ourselves here in this 21st century setting of ours.
That's tomorrow when Ron shares his message, The Right Response to God's Word. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.